lesson in text for the sermons this morning comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, and Mark chapter 16, 1 through 8. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stopped and looked in and saw him, the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. The disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then they hadn't understood the scripture that had said Jesus must rise from the dead. They went home." The second scripture this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us for the entrance to the tomb?" Once they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone was very large and had been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone besides they were afraid to. Here ends the reading of God's Holy Word. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I ask that you would be with me this morning. I ask, Father, that you would lead me down the pathway you would have me go. I pray, Father, anything that I would say or do would bring honor and glory to your precious name. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Joy, wonderful joy. Little Philip, born with Down syndrome, attended a third grade Sunday school class with several 8-year-old boys and girls. Typically of that age, the children did not really accept Philip with his differences, according to an article in Leader magazine. But because of a creative teacher, they began to care about Philip and accept him as part of the group, though not fully. The Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought pantyhose containers, the kind that looked like large eggs. Each received one. The children were told to go outside on that lovely spring morning, find some symbols that were new life, put the eggs back in the egg container, and bring it back. Back in the classroom, they would share their new life symbols, opening the containers one by one in surprise fashion. After running about the church property in wild confusion, the student students returned to the classroom and placed the containers on the table. Surrounded by the children, the teacher began to open them one by one. After each one, whether flowers, butterflies, or leaves, the class would ooh and ah. Then one was opened, revealing nothing inside. The children exclaimed, "That's stupid. That's not fair. Somebody didn't do their assignment." Philip spoke up, "That's mine." "Philip, you don't ever do things right," the student retorted. "There's nothing there." "I did so do it," Philip insisted. "I did do it. It's empty. The tomb was empty." Silence followed. From then on, Philip became a full member of the class. Now, Philip died not long afterward from an infection most normal children would have shrugged off. At the funeral, the class of the 8-year-olds marched up to the altar with their, not with flowers, but with their Sunday school teacher, who each laid upon the altar an empty pantyhose bag. Now Mary Magdalene and the other women rose from the restless and sleepless bed and gathered the ornaments they needed to anoint the crucified body of Jesus. He had been hurriedly placed in a borrowed tomb without being anointed for burial. Their plan was to arrive early and perform this task. Their silhouettes moved toward the tomb. I'm sure that they carried sorrowful hearts with them. I'm sure that each step toward the beaten and tortured body of Jesus wasn't easy for them to take, but it was a job that had to be done. Not one of them was thinking about the many times Jesus said that he would arise from the dead on the third day. No, there was no mention of that hopeful and joyful moment. Their heavy hearts guided their heavy feet toward a heavy duty through a heavy fog. They had planned to have that soldiers roll away the stone so they could get inside. They didn't feel that the men would deny them this simple ritual. But as they approached, something was wrong. The stone had been rolled away. The women ran yards and peered into to see inside the tomb. One would imagine that at that moment, his prophecies of rising from the grave would have been frontline in their minds, but they weren't. Mary Magdalene dropped her bundles and ran towards where they knew John and Peter were hiding from the crowd. Her news was simple. It had nothing to do with the resurrection. It only had to do with an empty tomb and a missing body. There was still no recognition in her mind that, as Jesus predicted, that he had risen from the dead. John and Peter raced from the room they were hiding in. Fear of the high priest and the religious leaders or the scribes wasn't in their hearts at all. For Peter, who was often driven by his anger, was probably another indignity that the wretched religious leaders would add insult to their injury. He ran hard, but John was faster. Peter came second, but didn't stop at the gaping hole in the rock. Then John followed him in. They saw nobody, but they did see the grave clothes that their master had been wrapped in, lying neatly on the cold stone resting place. The two stared. The scripture tells us that John believed, but neither understood what this sight truly meant. We just know that John believed a miracle. We are not sure, but we know simply that he did believe. After the two had left, Mary Magdalene appeared again at the tomb. When she looked into the tomb, she saw two men clothed in glorious white robes. Through her sobbing and tears, one asked her, "Why are you crying?" It was the same question the man standing behind her asked, mistaking him for the gardener. She begged of him to tell her where they had taken Jesus' body. She was sobbing hard. Her tears were filling her eyes. It was still early in the morning, and the light was low. But she was asking the right question. Where have they taken his body? But in another second, she would have that answer in the most miraculous way. Jesus called her name in that moment, in the midst of the greatest of all sorrow and the most intense grief of her life. Her emotions transformed into the most astounding joy. Psalms 30, verse 5 has become an experienced reality for Mary Magdalene. It says, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. For truly her weeping had lasted through the night and during her first trip to the tomb, but at that moment, all sorrow, all grief, all pain, all fear, all depression was lifted instantaneously, and joy came into the morning." We all know joy. We know it isn't a constant state of emotion, yet we have had wonderful periods of it. Maybe it came at your wedding. Maybe it was at the birth of your child, or the birth of a niece or nephew. For a grandparent, it is a special joy because you know the season of complete spoiling is coming. Then you can send the child home. Trust me, that is a special, special joy. For the Christian, it may have been the moment when Jesus became your Savior and you felt your sins washed away in the spring of new life. Maybe it was when you helped another seeker cross from death into eternal life. We have all felt joy. For Mary, this must have been an uncontrollable joy. She wanted to grab him, hold him, weep at his feet, but at that point, Jesus had not gone on to his Father, so he cautioned her not to hold him. Mary Magdalene was filled with joy. Jesus later appeared to Peter and the other disciples, one is Thomas. You can imagine the fear and remorse in Peter's heart before Christ appeared. He had denied him three times. He had sworn he didn't know Jesus. He had left Jesus down. When called upon to give testimony that Jesus was the Messiah, Peter turned his back, denied he knew him, and walked away. He had compounded sorrow and remorse that was eating at his soul. Many Christians understand that feeling. There are times when we have turned our back on our faith or on our Lord. We went along to get along. That could have been the reason you started on your Lenten journey. journey this year. You know how Peter felt. He had two fears. One, that Jesus would not appear to him. And the other, that Jesus would appear to him. Suddenly, Jesus appeared in the room. At first, they thought he was a ghost. Luke 24, chapter 24, verse 41 tells us that disbelief was due to another reason. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Their reaction to seeing Jesus was both joy and amazement. He proved he was real with the physical action of eating. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, that Jesus appeared to 500 followers. He appeared to Thomas. He appeared to many people with one unified reaction. Joy. Joy should be our reaction today as we celebrate Easter. The disciples saw Jesus and they were filled with joy. Yet Jesus holds a special blessing for those of us who have experienced his reality, his power, his grace, and his love. John 20, 29 says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." The message of the resurrection is a simple one. Jesus came, died, was buried, and then rose from. You are either one who believes with seeing him or one who does not. As Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The Lord is risen. Indeed, the Lord is risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Christ is risen today. We should be smiling. Our faces should be gleaming because Christ our Savior is alive. He's here with us today. There's each and every one of you here today. You can feel him right here. You can feel him. God is here. Jesus is with us. He will guide you and strengthen you because you love him. He loves you. Amen. let's continue with the song that you.